Well, good morning to Soul Union Church. We're so glad that you're here today. It's great to see you, and I thank you for coming to worship with us today and being a part of this service. If you're here for the first time, a special welcome to you. We're so glad that you've taken some time to share your morning with us, and after the service, we'll have a time of refreshment with some snacks out in the lobby area, and you're certainly all welcome to join us for that. A special welcome to the team from the University of Virginia, and I don't know if we have anybody from Virginia that's here other than the team. Nobody? All right. That's all right. So I do encourage you to get to know them after the service. They're actually going to be working with us during some of their time here in Seoul. We're so grateful for that. I'd like Katie to just stand up for a second. This is Katie Aller. She's been in Korea for some time, but she's just now come over to the right side. Anyway, she was down in Suwon for a while, and she just went back to the States for a brief rest and furlough, and she's come now back. We've been talking to Katie for some time, since last year actually, about coming and helping us with our university ministry. And so Katie is a specialist in that. She works with university ministry and with an organization called Chi Alpha. It's a campus ministry that's international, doing a great, great work on college campuses around the world. And this team has come to partner in that, and they're going to be walking around Yonsei with prayer walks and praying around the campus and talking to university students and, of course, letting them know that we're here to serve them as well. And so this is kind of a launching point for our university ministry that we've been talking about for some time. So we're very, very excited about that. We're also very glad that this team has come, and we are looking forward to getting to know you much better. And it's Josh, right? Go ahead and stand for us and give us another wave. This is the team leader, so we're glad that he's coordinating this group of students. So we're so glad that they're with us. So please take the time after the service to ask them what campus ministry is all about. You might have some questions that you want to answer or want to have answered, and you might want to know what campus ministry is really all about and what their passion is. But more importantly, I encourage you to ask them because you want to be involved in this ministry. And so I encourage you to pursue that conversation with them. This week, I'm actually going to piggyback on last week's message. Actually, the text from last week was found in, you can see in the bulletin, was found in Matthew 28. And I'm going to focus more of our time on the 20th verse. And I think last week was just such a profound time for us, and the focus on discipleship and being the people that God has created us to be and growing in Him and encouraging the growing of faith in others and being His disciples. And so we're going to kind of piggyback a little bit on that as we move forward, but I'm going to focus a little bit more and in a different way on the 20th verse from that text in Matthew. And so if you look at that 20th verse, and if you can remember from last week, the concluding portion of what we refer to as the Great Commission is in the words of Christ saying, "And I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And some of your translations will read a little differently, but the crux of that message, imagine this, the crux of that message is Jesus saying, "I'm with you, and I will always be with you." How many of you have seen Big Hero 6? I've got this line, like, we've seen this a gabillion times in our house, and it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I don't often encourage people to see most movies because most of them aren't worth seeing, but there's some good moral messaging in this movie, and this, I don't want to wreck it for anybody, but there's this robot, looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, right? And he's got this amazing line, and it kind of comes to this emotional point, and he's talking to Hiro, right? And he says, "Tadashi is here. Tadashi is here." And Hiro doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it because he can't see Tadashi anymore. He knows that Tadashi is gone, but Baymax, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, if you will, right? Just picture that, right? He says, "Tadashi is here." How much more value is there in Jesus saying, "I am here. I am with you." and even unto the end of the age. And that's where the title comes from, for all ages. And there's a play on that, and you'll see that in the course of our time this morning. Because it's for every person. It's for every age. It's both. Jesus is saying, I am here. I am with you. And that's what we're really going to focus on. Because here's the thing, and let me say this before I move forward. Lest you think that your preachers, that your pastors never experience some of the same things that you do, you're sadly mistaken. And even this last week, Nicole says to me, this is an opportunity to practice what you preach. Wow. I won't go into detail, right? But here's the thing. A few weeks ago, we talked about joy. We talked about where we're headed for 2015 and what our vision will be for 2015. And yes, the foundation is laid on love. But we really talked about being people who give away what God has given us, right? We're going to give it away because he's going to refill us. But that's not the reason why. That's not the cause, right? We're just going to give it away. And in his economy, he gives back to us. But one of those things that we focused on, one of those things that we talked about was a joy, the presence of the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. And here's the reality. You see, I face hard times too, lest you think otherwise. And so I come to times where it's like, wow, I don't really feel the joy of the Lord as my strength, right? So what am I going to do about it? And then you have someone like Nicole who reminds you, right? Well, it's an opportunity for you to practice what you preach. So today, we're going to talk about the reality that we face. And I'm right there with you. And oftentimes, we'll say it this way. Look, I'm preaching to myself. And leading up in the preparation for this, I have to sit there and go, well, I can't even get up there. You know, first of all, I deal with my own humanity and go, wow, I'm not worthy. I'm only accepted because of Christ. And I face some of the same struggles that you do and some of the same challenges. But one of the great things is that we're in this together. And Jesus is standing there saying, I am here. I am here. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that very truth. See, we all need encouragement from time to time. At one time or another, most people, if they're human, if they're alive, if they're still breathing and have a pulse, face a crisis when everything seems to fall apart. Have you ever been at that place where you feel like everything is unraveling, not just your shoelaces, but everything just seems to be going south? Have you ever, or am I the only one? You're afraid to raise your hands. That's all right. I'm going to let you warm up a little bit, because we're going to have some interaction today. Sometimes things go wrong even when we try to do right. I just can't get it right. I'm trying, and Paul talks about that, right? I want to do what's right, but I end up doing what's not right, and oh, it's part of that human condition. We experience stress in our lives, and we experience great stress when the loads that we think that we're supposed to carry seem more than we can bear. The task is more than we can handle. There can be times of fear even when we feel that our sense of security is threatened. There can be times perhaps of fear when we think that people have it out for us. We don't have control. And one of the things that Alan, oh man, I just wish you would have all been there yesterday. You know, you hear me say this every time we come around to hang time. It's just, yesterday was just one of those wild times, right? It's like every man's title that was introduced yesterday was a sermon in itself, right? The guys that were there, I mean, it was just every one of them. It was like we sat there and just had all these sermonettes, and it was just such an encouraging time. And you know, we have a heart and a passion to serve the men of Soul Union Church. To grow the men of Soul Union Church, to build up the men of Soul Union Church, not to exclude anyone else. But sometimes that load seems too much for us to bear. And sometimes it takes us out of our comfort zone, and sometimes it even creates this fear because, as Alan shared, you know, sometimes it's hard to maintain control, but, you know, oftentimes we still have to remain palms up. And sometimes that threatens the very security that we feel that we might have. Let me share with you just a little bit because there's way too much to go into. But in 2007, October of 2007, my dad collapsed and I got the phone call and I was able to go across the country. At that time, we were still in the United States, and I was able to change some things in my schedule, go across the country and arrive literally 3 days before he would have died, and intervene on his behalf. And in fact, I had to appeal before the ethics committee of the Veterans Administration Hospital to actually do something in order to save his life. And they did, after the appeal was approved, and they intervened, and my dad actually had several years extended with a lot of hard work. But that started a nightmarish experience in our lives that I don't ever want to have to live through again. It was a very dark time and very challenging time. And there are so many nights. It was night after night after night. I felt like I can't bear this load, trying to keep my dad alive, trying to operate, run, manage his business, and still have a family on the other side of the country and spend weeks. And I know a lot of you understand separation from family. It's a heavy load. To get up in the morning and open his business and run it and deal with the pressures of that and the chaos of that, and then close it, stay until closing, and then drive another 45 minutes to the hospital and sit with him for hours in a hospital room and talk to the staff and try to figure out what's going to be the best thing for him. Try to encourage him to fight to stay alive. Until it was 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd drive another hour and a half to the basement of friends where I was staying in an unfinished basement where they had a bed. And I can tell you that at 2:30 and 3 o'clock, almost every single morning, I would wake up and my heart was beating so severely. I literally can tell you it was shaking the bed, and I would wake up every single morning like that. And I wonder if I would be around in a few hours. And I thought about my friends, going, wow, Jeff's not up here yet. I wonder where he is. Well, he must just really need the sleep. But then at some point, venturing downstairs only to find me dead in their bed downstairs. I literally had that thought every single morning when I woke up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning with my heart. Boom, 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 boom. The pressure of that. And I called that time my pleading time, because the only thing I could do was plead to God. God, you've got to help me. God, it was a time where, it's okay for us to ask for miracles because we serve a miracle-working God. But I came to this place and I said, God, I don't need the miracles. I just need you. You're the miracle, because in you I have everything I need. And it was my pleading time. And I'd love to tell you that there was some mystical music that started playing and angels started to flutter into the room and all of this bright light started to shine and my heart stopped racing and pounding. It was tough. It was tough. And I needed some encouragement. It began one of the most challenging experiences of my life, and it was hard. I can't just stand here and tell you that it wasn't. It was hard. But in these kinds of situations, and some of you can relate to them, and some of you have your own stories, we all do. In many situations, perhaps like this, we become all the more desperate for encouragement. How many people in your life, or perhaps it's you this morning, are desperate for that kind of encouragement? The reality is that life is not always a bed of roses. Life is not always sweet. Bad things happen to good people. I've shared with you before that this church is not a place that we need to come and beat up people. People get beat up enough on the outside. This is a place where people should come and experience the love and the grace that God has for each and every one of us. Where we don't give them condemnation that they perhaps are getting on the outside, but they come and they experience compassion. That they experience the love and the reality of life in Christ. And that kind of life that he offers to us. And so many of you, and I could call you by name, and perhaps someday as we keep moving forward, you'll be able to learn more of our own life stories as a congregation, about how God has brought you out of that kind of a place. On the other hand, I've also shared that we do not herald a prosperity theology, nor do we live in denial of the reality of life. Disappointment and discouragement are no respecter of persons, right? Though sometimes we wish that they were. King David had many such desperate occasions. And in 1 Samuel 30, you can read one of the accounts that he experienced in his life. He found himself in the midst of a time of great distress. But it goes on to say this in verse 6. And if you don't remember anything from today, remember this in verse 6. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I have to tell you something. As I started looking at that, and as I started digging into that, I'm like, what does that really mean? What's the significance in that? Because I got to tell you, I'm really discouraged. How do I encourage myself in the Lord? What does that mean? Let me tell you something. Several years ago, I was in Greece. And I went there and I was living there. And I didn't know anybody when I went there. And I have spent many, many times walking down the street, going from the appointments that I had. And I would spend the time just thinking. And sometimes, you know, I'd use that time to pray, and it was just kind of my time to kind of gather myself amidst the schedule that I had. And to be more honest with you, well, that's not the right way to put it. I walked a lot because I was trying to not pay money for taxis. I was trying not to pay the money for buses, and I could walk for free. So there it is. But I enjoyed that time, and I kind of took that as my time to kind of gather myself and collect myself. But you know, after a period of time, and I know that there's people in here that can relate to this, because a lot of you are living in a foreign land, right? And we go through this as part of our transition. I felt very alone. I felt lonely. I was away from family and friends, and I was away from a lot of what was familiar to me. As much as I enjoyed the reason that I was there, but I felt alone. And it was at those times, I want to ask for a little help here. I'm going to ask for, they're going to be surprised because I'm going to call their name in a second. Hudson, McGuire, Jazz, Asia, Mercy. I want you guys to think for 1 second, all right? Don't say anything to your neighbor yet, all right? Think back to your childhood. I know you're really old, but think back to your childhood. And think of one of your favorite songs from Sunday school. It might be the first one that pops into your head. Think of one of the songs that you learned. Don't say anything to your neighbor, right? But in your really loud voice, without being swayed by what somebody else says, I want you each to go down the row there and tell us just what that one song is that comes to your mind. Hudson. McGuire. All right, and it can be the same song. That's okay. Don't think you got to think of something else real quick, all right? So Hudson, Jesus Loves Me. McGuire, what was it? All right, Jazz. Asia. Murky. All right, I honestly, if I was really good, I would have written something and sealed it in an envelope and then had Vonda open it up and tell you the song that I was pretty confident that they would say. And you know what that song was? Jesus Loves Me. And you know what? That is a fundamental truth that we teach our kids. And I have to tell you, Hudson, McGuire, Jazz, Asia, Mercy, and you guys are all just ducks in a row right there. I don't mean to exclude any of the other students in your age range. I got to tell you something, that song is the song that came to my head as I walked the streets of Greece. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I was lonely. I was away from family and friends. I missed home. I needed to be encouraged. And I prayed and I prayed and I flashed back to my childhood and I started singing, Jesus loves me. And our kids right now are downstairs with teachers who love them and care about them saying, Jesus loves you. And I'm saying to every single one of you, Jesus loves you. Tadashi is here. Jesus is here. And he loves you. For all ages, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. From the oldest to the youngest. Jesus is here. It sounds great, does it, to encourage oneself in the Lord. But what does it really mean that David did this? I would like to have the ability to just do that, wouldn't you? When everything is going south, wouldn't you just like to escape to Cabo, to Boracay, wherever your favorite beach destination might be? Let's park here a bit just to see if we can understand what he did right. David and his band of 600 men had been off serving in the military of an enemy king. There's a whole backstory to this. We don't have the time to go into it. And in the process, they'd left their wives and their children in Ziklag, unprotected. A raiding band of the Amalekites, the persistent and longtime enemy of Israel, attacked the village. They took all of the women and children for slaves and the material goods of value, and then they set the entire village ablaze. They destroyed it with fire. They left nothing but a pile of smoldering rubble. And it says this, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. There was nothing left there for them. Talk about discouraged. It's interesting to note how David's men reacted when they discovered this terrible loss. The next verse says this, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. Yeah, I think we'd probably do the same thing. Until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been at that place of desperation where you go, I don't have any tears left. I got nothing left. You come to that place where there's such a great distress, just like David. It says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people even spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Now, what does that have to do with encouraging ourselves in the Lord? This is to give us an example that even at these times of desperation and such levels of discouragement, that we can make a choice. Remember, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. A lot of times we feel pressed on every side. We might be tempted to do what David's troops did. We may even be tempted to take it out on someone else. It's the blame game. We may find ourselves in the pit of despair, and rather than press in closer to God, asking him what to do, crying out to him to be our source of strength, we react by keeping our eyes fixed on the problem. This is one of the reasons weeks ago I encouraged us all that sometimes when you have a challenge, the best thing we can do is serve the needs of someone else. Sometimes when we are hurting, we end up hurting others. Hurt people hurt people. Think of what must have been going through David's mind as he stood over the ruins of this village, of his home, not knowing the fate of his family, whether they were dead or alive, but knowing that nothing was left. He must have asked himself some questions. Why, if God is with me, is Saul trying to kill me? Why is Saul so intensely jealous of me? Why, if I am the anointed one, do I have to hide myself in the cave in the wilderness? Is this the reward I get for being a man after God's heart? Treated this way? However, there could be another way to look at this. Is it not possible that God allowed this crisis in David's life so that it would force him to look to him alone, not the 600 men? And in fact, as the story goes on, he lost some of those men. 200 of them he lost. They couldn't go on with him. They chose not to go on with him. They were too tired to go on with him. It's kind of like the story of Gideon, right? But is it not possible that God could have allowed this to happen in his life? Could it have been that God wanted David to focus his eyes on him rather than the problem? How many of us can relate to that in our own lives? We have a choice. David could either, as a great many of us do, just focus on the problem, or he could get beyond that and see and look and cry out to God. David looked deep within himself, and there he met God and found the strength and the direction to carry on. And this is where it says in verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what I want to say to each of us today. Continue to encourage yourself in the Lord. David had lost just as much as any of the other men. His only worldly possessions was what he was wearing. Everything else was gone. But there was one thing that could not be taken from him. And there's one thing, no matter what your challenge, no matter what your problem, no matter what your struggle, no matter how desperate, no matter how disappointed, and no matter how discouraged, there's one thing that can't be taken from you, and that's your relationship with God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. You may come to church, and you may use some kind of language or jargon that will give people the impression that you are living with Christ in relationship. You might use the right words. In other words, we've heard it said this way, you may talk the talk. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, you can't walk the walk. David was able to encourage himself with the Lord because of a personal relationship with him. To strengthen ourselves in God means we remind ourselves of what Scripture says about God and His promises that He's made to us. And then we apply those truths into our current situation. Strengthening ourselves in the Lord is an intentional act. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make that no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, no matter how pressed or stressed, I look to God. When it says David strengthened himself, the verb implies a persistent and continuous effort. And I want you to get that this morning. It's a persistent and continuous effort. It's like several weeks ago we talked about, what do you do when you run out of fuel? You get back and you refuel, and you continue to refuel, and you continue to refuel. It's that same kind of verb. There's nothing passive about seeking out the Lord in the times of our despair. The question really comes as to whether or not you're doing that. Sometimes we have to snap ourselves back to attention and have a little chat, a little self-talk, if you will. And that's what David did. In Psalm 43:5, it says, this is David, right? Here's David in this time of despair. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance, my God. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Three quick points to help us as we seek to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Seek guidance and direction from him. Look to him, not to the problem. Where God guides, he provides, and all the missionaries said amen. Be a channel of God's grace. Even in times of struggle, you can still be a channel of God's grace. Even in the times of discouragement, you can still be a blessing to others. Even when you are disappointed, you can still give to David had a group, and we could preach for a few weeks on this. He referred to as the mighty, or the scripture refers to, as the mighty men of valor. Some amazing stories about these people. And I want to ask a couple guys to help me. And I don't mean to exclude anyone, because I could call several of you. Lee, can you come here, please? I don't know if Jack is here. Jack, could you come here, please? John, can you come here, please? Paul, can you come here, please? Samuel, can you come here, please? David had a group of men among his warriors that were referred to the mighty men of valor. And we could look at some amazing things that these guys did. But I want to tell you something. It goes way beyond the answering the question of, you got my back? These guys wouldn't have taken a bullet because they didn't have them then. But you know what? They would have taken a knife or a dagger or a spear or an axe or a club for David. So it's way, way beyond, you got my back, right? But he had men that would have laid their life down. And I know that these guys got my back. Samuel does nothing but encourage your pastor. And his encouragement gives me hope. Every time I see him, this man encourages me. And I know John's got my back. He comes with godly wisdom and faith and trust. And I know Paul's got my back. I've probably known Paul the least amount of time out of these guys. But I know he's got my back. And he's steady and he's solid. And he's steadfast in the faith. And he's strong. And these two guys right here, let me tell you something about these two guys. I have the most history with them. At a very dark time, this man, Jack Moon, has been at Soul Union Church longer than most of you, came up to me and looked me right in that I'd never heard this expression before. He says, I'm with you, lock steady. And I got to tell you something, that spoke life into my heart. Because he's a mighty man of valor as far as I'm concerned. And this man right here, he walked into my office and he leaned over my desk. And you know what he said to me? He says, I'm with you. I don't know if either of you guys remember that, but I do all these years later, right? These are mighty men of valor as far as I'm concerned. And I could call out some more of you, but how many of you have some people like this in your life that'll help you get back to life, to get back to strength? And every one of these men are godly men. You speak life into others. You speak hope and encouragement. Because you don't know what people are going through. Even the person sitting next to you, you might not know what they're feeling this morning. You might not know what battles they're facing. You might not know the level of disappointment and despair or discouragement that they're experiencing right now. You don't know the betrayals that they may have faced. You don't know the wounds that they've experienced. But how many of you got a band of people that can stand with you and go, I got your back, right? And if that means I just simply hold you up so you can stand on your feet, I'm going to stand here and hold you. You guys can go back. We talk about discipleship. We talk about living a life and growing our faith in Christ. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be a person of valor. Be a person of strength. Be a person of integrity. And yes, the reality of life sometimes not just good, it's painful. But I want to encourage you, if you don't have somebody, seek someone out. Or maybe you can be that person for another. Life is just hard sometimes. Discouragement and disappointment often go hand in hand. Disappointments can easily spiral into that deep level of discouragement. Who's going to help you? And yes, our first and most important point is God is our helper. And we could put a whole lot of scripture in front and look at that as our source to strengthen ourselves and remind ourselves that God is a God of promises and he keeps his promise through his word. Are you looking at it? Are you reading it? Are you meditating on it? Are you studying it? I would encourage you to do it. What if you prepared a list of Bible verses for yourself? Maybe you put them on your mirror. Maybe you put them on your computer screen. Maybe you put them next to your desk or your nightstand or something, and you just simply read through them, especially in your deep, dark times of disappointment and discouragement. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And on it goes. In Hebrews, it talks about our faith in Christ in 1 John. And I've shared with you before in John 16, 33. In the world, you will have tribulation. Don't be surprised by that. And we all can attest to it in our own lives. In the world, you will face hardship and challenge and struggle. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is here. As we close this morning, remember some very simple steps. We face discouragement or disappointment. Know that we don't have to go it alone. Jesus is here. Talk to God. Tell him exactly how. I learned this lesson a long time ago. I grew up thinking I couldn't express my true feelings to God or he'd strike me dead. The lightning bolt would come and knock me out of my shoes. And you know, I got to tell you, I don't believe that to be true. God created emotion and he knows how I'm feeling before I even confess it to him. But he can handle my anger. He can handle my questions. He can handle my uncertainties. He can handle my loneliness. He can handle whatever feeling it is. And I'm a guy and I can't give you a big long list because I'm not in touch with all of those emotions. Ladies, I know you can, right? He can handle it. Have you ever shook your fist at the sky, or have you not done it but you wanted to for fear that God would send the lightning bolt? Oh, why God? He can handle it. Just be honest with him. Talk to him. Take a walk down the sidewalk instead of taking the taxi next time and have a little chat with God. Find some mighty men to stand with you. Find some people to encourage you to come alongside who live out, I got your back. Even Moses had to have his arms held up. Third, spend time to pray together with some warriors and share words of encouragement with each other. Words that will build each other up and lift each other up and edify and encourage each other and speak life back into each other. Trials and hardships will come our way throughout our life. That should be no surprise. But what will your decision be when they do come? Will you fix your eyes on the problem or will fix your eyes on the Lord? Remember, Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. If you know people who are trying to rob you of your joy, trying to rob you of your strength, walk away from them. Don't curse them. Just walk away from them. Protect yourself. I have a very close pastor friend. We were at an event one time together, and I heard him say this to his wife, and I was like, "Ooh." He says, "Why are you trying to steal my joy?" Why don't you ask that to the person next time that's trying to do that? Why are you trying to steal my joy? Why are you trying to thief from me? Why are you trying to steal from me? You know, people are trying to rob you of your joy. You don't have to give it to them. You don't have to let them steal it. Jesus says, Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, and that's for all ages. Let's pray. Our great God, We are humbled in your presence because of your greatness, your power, your strength, your might. And yet we're embraced by your love, by your care and your compassion. Holy Spirit, continue to seal your word in our heart that it would produce fruit and life, the kind of life that you came to give. Lord, we know that when we follow you, when we commit our will to you, when we decide to follow Christ, it doesn't exempt us from the pains of life, the trials of life, the challenges of life. But it does give us an assurance that we have the hope of life, that we can strengthen ourselves in you, that we can take joy because you are our strength. Our joy comes from you. Our strength comes from you. Help us, God, to encourage ourselves in you like David did, to remind ourselves of your presence and of your promises in our lives. That you are with us always, never to leave us or forsake us. And that we can cast our cares upon you. I thank you from the youngest of those in this service today to the oldest. And ask in Jesus' name that you would bless them. Let us never be too old to remember the simple truth and yet so profound. Jesus loves me. This I